And thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Today, we're going to find out about the Palm Springs Opera Guild in conversation with Lori Baldwin, the Chief Executive Director of the Palm Springs Opera Guild. I'm a dog owner myself. That's actually just music.
I'm sorry.
Oh, and you know what? I was just on a Dracula kick, and what music they make.
And you know what? I even closed the blinds so she wouldn't bark, and here she goes looking through the blinds.
It's all good. You know, I'm going to keep that intro. I'm just going to go into it that way. It's Oh, fantastic. Okay, Lori Baldwin, Chief Executive Director of the Palm Springs Opera Guild. Thank you for joining me for KVC Arts. Let's go into it that way.
David, well, I'm happy to be here.
How did you come to be with the Palm Springs Opera Guild? You're not a singer, I've been told, but you've been with them for 8 years. How did you end up with the Opera Guild and then eventually as executive director?
So it's kind of crazy. I've been in the nonprofit world for about 17 years, and my background is actually with Chambers of Commerce. I was actually the president and CEO for a Chamber of Commerce in Houston, Texas. And then I was pulled here to the Palm Desert Area Chamber of Commerce back in 2015. And I got a call one day from some, I guess you want to call them headhunters, saying that the Palm Springs Opera, well, they didn't even tell me what the organization was that was interested in me.
Oh.
And the funny story is I asked them, well, what company is it? And she said, well, I prefer not to say at this point. And I was kind of perplexed. I was like, well, why? How could I work for a company that I don't know?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, let me just, you know, do a mini interview with you, and we want to see if we think you're fit, and then I'll let you know. So eventually it came to be known that it was the Palm Springs Opera Guild. And she goes, the reason I didn't want to let you know is because sometimes when people hear the word opera, they're a little afraid because, you know, opera is a big word. And I said, well, I actually love the arts. I don't know anything about opera, but I do know about nonprofits. So they really were able to hone in on my background in business. And that's how I came to be the executive director, because they wanted me for my business background. Because nonprofits, as we all know, although we're doing the good for the community, we really are a business. So here I am.
Okay, that is really cool. That's not starting off at this point, coming into it at this level, and then eventually becoming. No, you are actually, I think headhunter is still a safe word to use, I think, for this, as far as I know. I suppose when they were asking you questions, being ever so elusive, just wanting to know about situational stuff without giving you proper situations,
right.
Let's say.
Exactly. But it's a fun story. And now I'm thrilled. I mean, now I've come to really love opera, and it was something that I really wasn't exposed to as a younger person. And now I wouldn't go back. So, yeah,
nice.
I love it.
Nice. Sandy Hodela, the person who set up this interview, she's my eyes and ears for the desert, said that you told her that you feel that traditional opera is more popular as opposed to newer, contemporary pieces, let's say. Talk about that, please. Does that say that people are more about experiencing a classic, I have to see Verdi before I don't, you know, rather than experiencing, say, this type of music presentation?
Well, I'll say this, David. Here in the desert, that seems to be our experience. We've had members that have been members of the guild. We have, I want to say, about 200 at this point because, you know, a lot of them are dual members, et cetera,
sure.
Have more than one person in their family a member. Traditionally, we have an older demographic who like traditional opera. It's not that they don't like newer stuff. You know, I don't think that we can engage people with newer opera. It just seems that here in the desert, our experience is that they do like to hear what they already know. It's not that we don't want to dive into that, though. The Opera Guild is actually, right now, our board is talking strategically about how we need to probably try to intermix both. Then we can just let our current members know that if this isn't for you, well, the next program will be. You know, we want to have an intermix, an interchanging, possibly, of bringing both genres, the new and the classic opera, to our community. Because I think it is important that we do evolve and we don't continue to listen to the same old record. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Although it's a classic record and we love the record,
yeah,
and it will become something that we cherish, we still know that we need to engage sometimes younger audiences because it's just part of, you know, you have to continue on with your organization. And I know the Southern California, LA Opera and San Diego Opera, and Pacific Opera Project, they really have tried to embrace it as well. So I think we know we have to have a mix of both. the Palm Springs Opera Guild hasn't so much done that. We're just starting to do that. One program I'll let you know about really briefly is on January 30th, our upcoming Bon Appetit opera is one of the newer pieces that we were actually trying out, and we sold it out in 8 days, which was phenomenal. And I think it's because, you know, we don't traditionally put on opera. We're a guild. We're not an opera company, per se, where we actually produce opera.
Mm-hmm.
But we took a chance on this, and we had a younger artist in the Portland, Oregon area contact me and let me know about this Bon Appetit opera. And so we decided to pair it with an afternoon tea. And it will be at the Palm Springs Agua Caliente Cultural Museum. So a lot of people haven't been there, so that's kind of exciting. It's a new venue here in Palm Springs. And so they get to see the new museum, and they get to experience opera at the same time. So we're really excited about that. It is a new opera. It was actually written, if we all remember Archie Bunker days, Edith, Gene Stapleton.
Yeah.
It was actually written for Gene Stapleton, but it's in honor of Julia Child. So the famed French chef. It was actually written for her to sing. And Jean Stapleton, I didn't know this until recently, that she was actually going to be the singer of this opera. So it's really exciting. We're introducing it. It's going to be a slow introduction for us, but we do want to bring in some new opera.
Almost certainly. Yeah, of course, that is always a challenge when trying to put together a season, say, artistic individuals of some sort. We want to produce our favorite Mamet or something like that. But one, there's the F-bomb repeatedly. But then there's also the fact that people do want, okay, let's bring in the Cole Porter again. You know,
right.
Just bring in the kind of anything goes again because it fills the seats. And so there is that mix of wanting to do this but wanting to provide this also.
I agree.
Jean Stapleton, by the way, that is so funny because if people think of her singing, they're thinking of Those Were the Days, the opening to All in the Family.
Yeah, and that twangy voice, but really she had a phenomenal voice.
Screeching, yes.
Shows what a great actress she was.
Oh, indeed. There's going to be a lecture coming up quite soon, and it's not just about Gustav Mahler himself, but Mahler's operatic influence. And now, I first wonder, is this about his influence on opera or how he was influenced by opera? But this is a lecture coming up January 22nd. That's a Wednesday.
Yes. So Natalie Mann is going to be presenting this. Natalie is also a singer, and she's going to be talking about Mahler. He didn't actually write any operas himself, but his influence on his contemporaries and future generations was huge. So she's going to be talking about long friendships with Strauss and presenting some Strauss Lieder and arias. So she's going to be singing as well. I haven't heard the lecture myself, but I do promise that it's going to kind of go between what influenced him, basically, in his music. That's about as far as I know about it. And then, you know, she's going to be singing and she'll have a pianist with her. So it'll be a full presentation. I can't go too much further into it, David. I'm going to be honest with you. That's about as much as I know about the Mahler influence.
Well, let's just say that for folks who are even mildly curious, Mahler is just one of those people as a composer. He's responsible for more pieces that you know that you may not realize you know. And there are pieces of his that were just pushing boundaries. And sometimes in subtle ways, but still, he was going ways that other composers at that time were not. And so this should be a fascinating talk. It's a Wednesday afternoon, January 22nd at 2 p.m.
Yeah, it starts at 2 p.m.
All right. Then on the 30th, that's the Bon Appetit with, it's Julia Childs on the photo that I'm looking at, but now I'm just seeing Jean Stapleton.
You're going to see that Edith
Oh, my gosh. You mentioned only once, but now every time I hear you say opportunity, I'm hearing the word opportunity.
Yes.
And so there's many things involved there. So let's go away from the calendar for a second and talk about opera in the schools, what this is, this program that goes for a couple of weeks, and what they have coming up this season. This, again, something really cool. Talk about a classic indeed.
Actually is. So opera in the schools, we're about 20 years in. Again, you know, we have longevity in our programs, which I just want to stress that our longevity in our school system is really great in all our programs. Opera in the schools has actually expanded a little bit. We actually reached 20,000 kids from kindergarten to grade 12, and we are in the Palm Springs Unified School District and the Desert Sands Unified School District. And it's a lighthearted assembly style. We started elementary, and then we'll visit middle schools, and then we'll visit high schools. And they're all a little bit different, but they're all very lighthearted, and they're about 35 minutes, and they're interactive. We actually get the kids involved. They are taught vocabulary terms, such as, you know, people don't know, you know, bravo, bravi, brava. You know, they don't know what that is. The kids don't know that. So we teach them things like that. We teach them what a soprano is, a baritone, a tenor, etc. And then they actually get to get on stage and perform a little bit with our artists, who are a professional troupe of four and an accompanist. And we've done this program for, like I said, 20 years. So this year, again, we're always about evolving and changing at the Palm Springs Opera Guild. So this year we're going to be doing a three-week program. It's had to expand. It's always been 2 weeks, but it's had to expand because of the popularity of it. We're going to be doing Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel in a condensed version. So if you know Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel, we all know the story of Hansel and Gretel. That's actually like a 2.5-hour opera. It's a very long opera. It's a German opera. And we've decided to dwindle that down to 35 minutes.
What? Okay.
And it will be in English and Spanish.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Okay.
Yeah, the demographic here in the desert is a lot of English-speaking children and a lot of Spanish-speaking.
Less German, yeah.
Yeah, less German. So it only made sense that we would do this. So it's our first time actually putting on an opera. Like I said, typically they do a smorgasbord of different arias, different duets from different operas, and this year it'll only be Hansel and Gretel. So the fun thing is that we know that most kids will know the story of Hansel and Gretel, and so they'll embrace the story. It's going to be fun, a little bit kooky, and it'll kind of hopefully trigger them to think that opera is fun. And because we've been in the school system for so long, it's so fun and endearing to see kindergarten and grade one children, their eyes just all aglow that there's, you know, what is going on. And then it's fun to see the kids that have already experienced our program be so thrilled that we're back. It's a fun three-week program. Kids just embrace us. I can't tell you how many thousands of letters we get from kids after the fact, after we performed at their school thanking us, and the fun pictures that we get. But really, it's just to expose these kids, because we don't have an opera house here in the desert. And so families can't even, for the most part, give that opportunity to kids because there isn't one here in the desert. I know the McCallum, maybe an opera company comes in once a year, but we also have to understand that it's probably not the first choice. Opera is considered probably not a first choice for a family to go to, but we want to change it. You know, LA Opera, we go to their Christmas. They always do something fun. They've done Hansel and Gretel, and, you know, they'll do a fun, less heavy opera for kids at Christmas time. So we want to do that same thing at our opera in the schools program. We want kids to see that music is fun. And even though it might not be what you hear on the radio in your mom and dad's car every day, it's still fun. And because opera embraces a theatrical side of music,
yes,
you know, it's basically music theater and costume, kids just light up and they just get so excited. And this is our opportunity to do that. And our program actually embraces the California standards. There's a performing arts standards in education that we actually reach, and that's by involving them, by including vocabulary, and just helping them learn a little bit more about the operatic arts. So that's what we really hone in to do, and we have a fun time doing it. Like I said, we bring in the four artists every year, and it's a three-week program. It's an expensive program for us, but it's 100% free, and it's our give back, because we want to expose kids to music, and we want to give them that opportunity. So that's what we do.
It's a wonderful introduction for a lot of us. And again, some of the music that you don't necessarily know that you knew, but there
exactly.
It is. Thanks
exactly.
to Humperdinck.
Speaking of that, it's kind of funny you say that, because now that I've been in the Opera Guild for so long, when you're listening to commercials on TV, I can't tell you how many songs I now hear that I'm like, oh my gosh, that song.
That's Mahler's Spring Symphony.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny how it all pieces together. And you didn't know it ever did until you know. So, yeah, it's really about exposure. Opera in the schools is really about exposure.
Now, looking ahead on the calendar, please tell me about the Allegro cocktail party. You had me a cocktail party, but why don't you just be honest?
So, like I said before, we are a member-based nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So we do invite our members and guests to come to different salon-type events. So we have an Allegro cocktail party, we have an Allegro Mardi Gras dinner, and we also do a season opening and season closing for our members and guests. So if you're not an opera member, this is a great opportunity. So it offers you an opportunity to not only socialize, but to actually come and hear live opera performance. At these events, we typically have two professional opera singers there, and they will sing both arias and duets. And the program is always based off of their own repertoire, typically. Our Mardi Gras theme is obviously French opera, because Mardi Gras is French. And so really, it's an inexpensive way to come and enjoy some opera, have some great food and some drink, and have an opportunity to meet some fellow music lovers. We have a lot of people just want to be social, and they're not diehard opera people, but they like opera.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for people to come and just enjoy, and it's about, I'd say we're there for about an hour and a half, and it's just a really fun time to get to know your people in your community that are like-minded like you. There is a fee for non-members, but it's minimal, and people can find that information on our website, which is palmspringsoperaguild.org. And like I said, all are invited, and we want you to come. Sometimes opera can feel like it's intimidating. You know
sure.
what I mean? That,
sure.
Like I said, just the word opera sometimes is intimidating to people. But we don't want it to be. We want everybody to envelop it and embrace it and try it. It may be for you, and it may be something that you like. And all of these salon settings are really simple. Sometimes they're at people's private homes, which is also a nice way to see the modernism, homes in the desert, and just some of the beautiful homes that we go into. And if it's not at a home, it's typically at a public space. And so all are invited. Get with us, and we'd love to have you.
Fantastic.
You might just want to become a member. You might want to become a member.
Nice. Again, that's the Allegro Cocktail Party coming up February 11th. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Lori Baldwin with the Palm Springs Opera Guild. We are hearing, for the most part, about upcoming programs, some rather soon, and some you wouldn't normally have access to, like Zarzuela, coming up mid-February.
Yes, Zarzuela is actually Spanish opera, and it's actually operetta, so it's a really light, but it's all done in Spanish. And this year we're going to be at the Coachella Library, and that is coming up, actually, on February 11th. And it's an afternoon performance at 3 p.m. It's on Saturday. And we have two singers coming. One of our board of directors, Josie Gomez, actually used to be highly involved in the San Diego Opera. And she brought this to us, and she used to be involved somewhat with House of Spain and et cetera, et cetera. And last year we had Dr. Ballerino come, and he did the Zarzuela program for us at Rancho Mirage Library. And it was just a hit. We had a full house, and we want to bring it back. So Josie has agreed to do the lecture for us. She's also a board of director, like I said, and is highly regarded in her educational skills and knows Zarzuela very well. So you're going to get a brief lecture of what Zarzuela is and how it has historically impacted opera. And you'll also get to hear the two singers. So we have two local singers, Christian Quevedo and Anna Ortiz.
Fantastic.
So they're both here from the Valley, and Christian is actually also into musical theater, so he's doing great things. He's also done our opera in the schools program, and Anna is currently at the University of Nevada studying music, so she's in the middle of her career, too. So you're going to hear two great artists, and they're going to be doing Zarzuela, and I promise you it'll be very colorful and fun, and it's free. And again, it's at the Coachella Library, and it starts at 3 p.m.
February 15th, and again, this is lecture and performance, so something really cool there. February 15th. So now moving into early March, on the 4th, we have the Allegro Black Tie Mardi Gras dinner. I suppose much like the cocktail party, only there's going to be more food.
That's correct. I do want to let everybody know, if you're interested at all in having a nice dinner with music, this is the one for you. It will sell out. It always does. We have two fantastic artists coming to sing French arias and duets. It's Dominic Salvati and Temple Hammond. Temple Hammond was just a finalist in our vocal competition.
Mm.
She's an up-and-coming star, and we want you to come out and see her. Patrick Anderson is actually going to be our MC for the evening. He is extraordinary and is doing a lot of things in La Jolla near the San Diego area with his opera program. So he'll be our MC for the evening. And I promise you it'll be a fun night with great food. PS Underground has great food. And so food, music, and people, what more could you ask for?
That's really fantastic. And again, this one is March 4th. It's a 6 p.m. event. And again, the best website for people to secure tickets for this
is palmspringsoperaguild.org.
Okay, just straight there. Okay, another event coming up in early March, March 5th. This is the Outreach and Winners Recital at the Rancho Mirage Library and Observatory. Once again, is this a collection of winners and runners-up from the recent opera vocal competition then?
You're close. You get to actually just see the first person, the finalist, Mary Hoskins. So Mary Hoskins gets the opportunity to do an in-person recital of music of her choice.
So nice.
At the vocal competition, they get to present two arias. At the recital, you're going to get about 45 minutes of music that's really near and dear to Mary and what she thinks is going to put her over the top in her career. So you're going to hear some art songs, you're going to hear some opera, and any personal songs that she really feels makes her voice shine. So it's kind of exciting to see what the artist presents to everybody. And we get to just take her in that much more because two songs was phenomenal. Now we get 45 minutes of her.
Oh, nice.
Again, it's 100% free. She will be accompanied by Yumi Hashimoto on the piano. It's at the Rantimaras Library at 2 p.m. It's free, and it will be probably breathtaking because Mary's voice is just so strong and so powerful, and she'll knock your socks off. So, yeah, we invite everybody.
Nice. That's March 5th. Now, something that we have here that is ongoing, Opera in the Park.
Opera in the Park is entering its 26th year in 2025. Mm. And this is something that's evolved. You know, we started off on a flatbed trailer. And now we have a full-on 50-something foot stage, lighting, and we get about 4,000 people come to Sunrise Park in Palm Springs every year. It evolved from an afternoon event that you sat on the grass and picnicked, which was very quaint and fun.
Yeah.
And now it's evolved into a full-on main stage, tables and chairs, or picnic style on the grass if you choose to. We do offer tables for purchase, and we also offer chairs for purchase. Or you can just come and put down your blanket and get to watch a 75-minute program of the best of the best that we've chosen for the year. And they give a program that is thoughtful. If you've never been exposed to opera, this will probably capture your heart and you'll be all of a sudden an opera lover. You know, it gives me goosebumps when I hear some of these singers. We've had both orchestra and not orchestra. Last year we did piano. We were actually celebrating our 25th anniversary. And we decided to change it up a little bit, and we had a phenomenal pianist who is, in her own right, one of the best that I've ever heard, Catherine Miller, come in, and she was our accompanist for the Opera in the Park last year. This year, we're probably going to bring back the orchestra. Everybody loves the orchestra.
Sure.
Opera and orchestra always go hand in hand. And we'll bring in another six singers, three of them of which just competed in the vocal competition. We always try to highlight the winner and then the runner-up. So we'll have three of the performers from the vocal competition come in and another three. And often we get these artists from our own programs that we throw throughout the year or from the adjacent opera companies in the Southern California area, such as L.A. Opera or San Diego Opera or Long Beach Opera, somewhere close by. Right now we're looking at a gentleman named Nathan Bowles. He just performed in Romeo and Juliet. So we took a trip to Romeo and Juliet with a group of our members. So 25 of us got into a shuttle bus and took our annual trip down to the L.A. Opera, and we saw Nathan sing in Romeo and Juliet and were blown away, and how could we not ask him? So we've asked him to participate, and we're hoping to get that go-ahead from him. He's just waiting for release from L.A. Opera. So hopefully. So that's the thing, is you're going to get to see some young singers, but you're also going to get to see some singers that are right on the cusp of making their big break. And we've also had singers come that have already made it. So you just don't know who you're going to get at Opera in the Park. You don't know if you're going to get the big star or if you're going to get the up-and-coming. And that's what's kind of exciting about it, because every year is a little bit different. And nobody can really guess who's going to be there until, you know, that last couple weeks before. So you want to come. And like I said, it's a free opportunity. Young and old, kids, we want you all to be there. You know, we know that when kids are exposed to music, it changes their lives. You know, it's proven that their brains change when they're exposed to music. It just makes your life so much happier. And who doesn't want to be happy?
On the Opera in the Park, I presume then Mary Hoskins will be showing up. She'll be one of the singers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's Mary Hoskins is our number one winner this year for the vocal competition, and she will be headlining, and she's phenomenal. Like, she definitely sees Mary having a big career.
And the next one of these, Opera in the Park, when is the next one?
It's Sunday, April 6th.
April
it starts
6th.
At 5 p.m., and it will be in Sunrise Park in Palm Springs.
All right, fantastic. So now let's hear about the season closing celebration, Tuesday, April 15th. What do we have on the slate for this? What can we look forward to on this one?
So we are going to be at a beautiful modernism-style home of one of our members in the Palm Springs area. And we will have two singers for that also singing salon style. So the nice thing is about these, David, is you get up front and personal with the singers because they're only an arm length away from you. So that's the fun thing about these type of venues. After they perform, you can go and talk to them and you can ask them questions. And it's always interesting to find out stories from opera singers or any singer for that matter. Basically, we're just there to celebrate. We've made it through the season. Some light hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and come out and visit with your friends and make new friends and listen to some great music. And you get to see a beautiful home at the same time. And we know that modernism here in the desert is huge. Well, this is one of the homes I don't know I've ever been on that tour, but it should be because it's a phenomenal home. So,
nice.
Yeah, and we all love the art world. And to me, you know, architecture and music and all these good things, they just all come together and it just makes for a really nice celebration. And we're just so thankful for our members and those that embrace opera music. And we want it to grow. And so we invite people to come to our celebrations and any of our events, because we do want to keep the arts alive. Regardless of the art form, arts have to stay alive. It's important for our well-being. We want to be part of that. So the Opera Guild embraces all, and most of our programs are free, which is always great for anybody. And so that's what we're about.
Fantastic. I really couldn't think of a better way to wrap. That was really beautifully stated. So we mentioned the website earlier. Is there a social media presence as well? And really, what's the best way for people to stay on top of this? Facebook, Instagram, the websites, what do we have?
So we do have Facebook, we do have Instagram, and you can easily contact us on our website, palmspringsoperaguild.org, or feel free to reach out at 760-325-6107, and we would love to talk to you.
Lori Baldwin, thank you so much for your time and the conversation. This was, I always learn a little bit and I'm always entertained at the same time. And I just enjoyed this one. And I hope we can get people to come out and experience something new or embrace once again something that they've always loved. The opportunity is there.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you. And again, we're thankful for the opportunity to speak with you.
There it is. Once again, more at palmspringsoperaguild.org, on Facebook and Instagram as well. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Lori Baldwin, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, and Sharina Wad. For more going on in the region, you can visit our events calendar at our homepage, kvcrnews.org, or you can go directly there at kvcrnews.org/calendar. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming, with thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.